So you kind of found a balance between the two at some
point. Absolutely. It's kind of that old adage that you got to know the rules to break them.
Sure, sure.
You know.
So at what point did you know you wanted to write songs? Who did you hear that you identified with, and what was your first attempt like to write something yourself?
Well, the very first song that I ever wrote was a co-write with my big brother Brian while we were waiting for the bus, and it was called "Oh Tom the Toad."
Okay.
"Oh Tom the Toad, why did you hop out on the road? You were here and you were there, and now you're mostly everywhere." "Oh Tom the Toad." Ever since I was a kid. But my mom, we lived out in the country. We had this old farmhouse. And my dad would be gone because he was working down in Ohio. He's an electrician, and so we were in that deal together. And there's three of us kids, and my mom, before we went to school every day, would read to us.
Okay.
And there'd be a storybook, and she was really religious, so there'd be a psalm and a proverbs. But then she would read out of this big book called "The Best Loved Poems of the American People."
Okay.
And so I grew up listening to all these poems and all these stories, and I think that's what really did it.
That laid the groundwork.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What were some of the poems and stories that stood out the
most? Oh, they called him Rags. He was just a cur, and once on the Western Line, that little old hunk of faithful fur. He offered his life for mine. You know, like that kind of stuff just really stuck. And I mean, obviously, it's still in there. So
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now,
and then somebody gave me a Dylan record at some point in high school, and I think it was over.
So the light went on when you heard Dylan?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about after Dylan? Who else was it that really resonated with you?
Well, you know, I was still a kid, too, so I was listening to all that Motley Crue stuff. And
sure.
I was listening to, you know, kind of The Cure and all that stuff, too. But the other thing that we had when I was a kid was this big front porch.
Right.
And on Friday nights, people would come over from all over the place with fiddles and bass guitars.
Okay.
And mandolins and banjos, and they'd sing all these old songs.
Right.
And so that was part of we talked about moving from the rock world into the folk world. That stuff was always there.
Like right.
The old bluegrass and old timey stuff was always part of my life. And then I think it was more like not really moving away from rock and roll, but really kind of just like at some point in your life you go, okay, this is who I am.
Right, right.
And even though I admire these hipster kids, I am not one, you know.
Sure.
I felt that way the other day at Madcap Coffee.
Okay.
You know, like I love their coffee and I love this place. And but these hipsters, like, man, I admire them a lot, but I am so not one of them. I want to be, but I'm 40, you know. So
I just turned 40 the other week, so I can relate.
It's not bad.
Man. No, it's a good thing. I think that there's a lot of opportunities that lay ahead in the 40s.
Yeah, but the coffee girl does start calling you sir.
Oh, well,
which is weird, you know.
I don't have an issue with being called sir.
I still get a little like, what?
I still think
I'm 12, though. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure she means sir in a hip way.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, right on.
Now, the characters in your songs, do you know them personally, or are they representations of a variety of folks that you've known and been impacted by? Who exactly are they?
All of the above.
Okay.
Some of them are people that I know personally. Some are me. Eventually, like, it's one of the dangers of being a friend of mine. Like, eventually you're going to end up in a song.
Okay.
Or something you said will end up in a song.
Okay.
And then some are people that I've picked. Like, there's that song Dust on the new record about the guy that burns his house down rather than let the bank take it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something that I read in the newspaper.
Okay.
But in the story, the guy actually bulldozed his house down.
Okay.
But I couldn't rhyme bulldoze to save my life, so I had him burn it. So
Fair
there's
enough.
A little bit of that going on, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's the old Irish adage, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Sure. So
they're all blends of all these characters.
Okay. And who are the characters that resonate with you the most?
You know, I think the people that I grew up around. So there's, you know, where I grew up, everybody's dad was either a farmer or they worked at the foundry, or my dad was an electrician, so there was a lot of tradesmen and a lot of people that worked with their hands. And small town, I grew up in a real tiny little place. And so those are the characters, I think, that really, that I write about a lot because I know them.
Yeah.
You know, I've yet to write about an investment banker.
Okay.
You know, because I don't know anything about their world or.
Sure.
And I don't think it'd be that interesting.
Well, I guess.
Willie Porter did a great song, though, about, it's called How You Rob a Bank.
Okay.
And it's about an investment banker, which is amazing, but. I'm not that clever.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like they say, you write what you know, whether you're a songwriter or you're writing books. So I guess that does make the most sense when it comes down to it. Now, you got 11 songs on Tilt a Whirl. Can you kind of walk me through the background of some of the songs?
Sure. Promised Land would be, I think that's the one that starts off. And when I was a kid, we had a train track that wasn't too far from our house, and And at night, you know, that train would go by and it would kind of shake the house a little bit. And I'd always lay there and think, you know, who's on the train and where they're going. And
right.
You know, why aren't I on the train? Because, you know, when you're a kid, you want to just get out of wherever you're at.
Where are they going? What are they seeing?
What's the deal with that, you know? So that's the opening line.
Right.
Up in the morning before the sun, listen to the train whistle whine. Where are they going? Where have they been? Why do they pass me by?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And then it goes into a character that's a day laborer.
Okay.
One of the big misconceptions about the day laborers out in California is they're all Hispanic. Well, that's not true. There's a lot of old vets. There's a lot of veterans, and they're coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq that are struggling to find work. And so that's about one of these guys.
Okay.
You know? So it's fill up the thermos and go meet Jose. It's a cold one today on the corner.
Sure.
I'll do cement work or whatever they say as long as the jobs come my way. So it's about that guy.
Sure.
So, and then Danny and Maria, that's just a little Romeo and Juliet song from my hometown where there was a lot of migrant families that would come to pick
Kent
the
City.
Apples. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the rest of the town, and it was just like never the twain shall meet. You know, the migrants stayed in their camps, and the white people stayed over here, and nobody ever mixed. And there was a lot of whispering, you know, under the breath when people drove by. Except on when it was time for the day at school to get the count. They wanted all the migrant kids in there to get the count because then they could get all the money from the state.
Okay.
That was about the only time they were appreciated.
Right.
But I grew up kind of poor, and so I did a lot of picking apples and stuff with everybody and with
got
my
to know
families
them.
And stuff. So
okay.
Yeah, I've been in camps and seen, you know, the whole shower for the entire camp be a hose sticking out of a piece of drywall, you know, and a cement floor. So
sure.
And then I remember riding home at night with a bag full of freshly made tortillas that these women that had nothing made for my mom and dad.
Mm.